Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today. I want to talk to you today about the subject of compassion from my heart. And I think that we lack compassion. I don't think we mean to lack compassion. We're just very busy. So if you're not cautious, you can become very self-absorbed really, really quick. But yet when I was on the ground just a few days in 2010 after the earthquake, and I was helping them pull out dead bodies, and the little babies are standing there 2 years old, upset, distraught, we had to do something with those people. And we did. And we continue to support the people there and bought an ambulance and did everything. And one that I'm thinking of right now, you know, he's 8 years older now, but his life has been impacted because his dad and mom were just gone. He couldn't feed himself. And so I see that, and some things you don't see. Or just in Cuba the other day, seeing that, I don't care if you're a doctor or a lawyer. In fact, I met with the lawyer there to help Nicole get the book printed, and he makes $30 a month. That's just the way it is in that communist society. So actually 90 miles off the shores of South Florida, off of Key West, if you go there and go south 90 miles, you'll find 17 million people stranded, making $30 a month and in poverty. Yet when we go there and preach, there's no AC. They had to walk to church. And they're singing the songs we're singing, but in Spanish. And they're crying and they're worshiping God. And when I watch these things, oftentimes I come back and I feel bad because I watch us. By the way, today's message is more of a dad talking to you, not bless me, feed me. And I'm a trained professional. Like I made you laugh a minute ago. We could go down that path and you'd be laughing and feeling blessed. But every once in a while, somebody needs to tell you things are a little out of hand. When we see what happened this week in the shooting, much like Parkland, much like Columbine, your heart breaks and you wish to God you could do something about it. But yet the sad reality is when you take God out of school, the devil takes over. The sad reality is when our video games are teaching the kids just shoot them, and all of our movies just show this gross stuff that's happening, that it's just another day to them. And that's the plan of the enemy. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Now, the I've come that you might have life, it really has a lot to do with us. Come on, Weldon. Because if we don't do what we need to do, then Hollywood takes over and they raise our kids and they become politically correct and then they become desensitized. And every once in a while, somebody needs to take a real look at, are we really our brother's keeper? Are we really making a difference? Because here's the thing. I'm all about you being blessed. I'm all about you having a great house. Some of the wealthiest people in our community go to our church. I would be slitting my own throat if I said God hates it that you have a nice car. I don't care if you got a Lambo. I'm probably not going to ride in it because I'm busy. I think it's great you got the first Ford GT that came off the lot at $500,000. That's nice, but that doesn't impress me. What impresses me is when some little mom goes to a nursing home and takes the children and says, we're just going to spend a couple hours talking to this lady, and we don't know her, but we're going to sing songs. And she doesn't have teeth in her head, but she's so excited that you're there. That impresses me. Because Jesus said, when I was in prison, you came and you saw me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. And every once in a while, we just need an attitude adjustment to realize that we are our brother's keeper. Now we have great churches. I mean, Weldon Springs, look around you right now. The beautiful auditorium, the great screens. We're streaming live through technology. This is unbelievable. But they don't have that in third world countries. Now, as a dad speaking to you, I tell my daughter this, who's right there at Weldon right now in a Gucci shirt, right? So I'm talking to her and you like I would talk to her. And I say, Ashton, she could tell you right now if she would stand up. She would say, it's okay to be spoiled as long as you know that you are spoiled. But the moment that you don't realize that you are spoiled, you are in trouble. Now, if you walk down the halls of Congress, and I have through various administrations, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I am a Christian representing Jesus. But there is a plaque on the wall that says, when a people or an institution forgets their hard beginnings, they're beginning to decay. Now, I don't know if you remember how pretty President Obama was when he got in there, but there wasn't a gray hair on his head. He was absolutely gorgeous. Come on, somebody. He walked in looking like Denzel, left looking like Fred Sanford, okay? Because he knows stuff you and I don't know. They told him some stuff that grayed his hair. They told him some stuff that freaked him out. And we've watched that through all presidents. Now, let me tell you, the president of the United States knows a lot, but the one who knows everything is God. And so God is looking at injustice saying, what are you going to do to change it? Are you going to be compassionate? Are you going to be compassionate? Or are you going to be self-absorbed? You say, well, when are you going to read a scripture? Well, I've got a lot of them. But first, we're going to set the groundwork to make sure we realize that maybe some of us are spoiled and we don't really realize that we're spoiled. And I'm talking to me too. I gripe. What's taking so long? You took me to the wrong airport. What's happening? When we get to heaven, if we get to go, we stand before Jesus. He's going to look at us and he's either going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Or he's going to go, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And I know this is a hard message, but it's a true message. It's a message that every once in a while we need to hear. Because right here, you're like, I would love to go to Cuba with you. I would love to go to Haiti with you. I would love to go to third world countries with you. Well, let me tell you where I went that you could go, that we went this week at a funeral in Ferguson, where a 19-year-old girl was sitting in a casket next to me, and I asked the funeral home director what happened to her, and he said a drug overdose. I say oftentimes, as we have a conversation in the back room, what is the typical age of the people that you're seeing here? He said all day, every day, multiple times a day, from 19 to 35. 19 to 35. Happens all the time. In fact, when I talked to the funeral home director on North Florissant Road, and you see this really jacked up, cool, extended limousine that looks really cool with lights. I said, why is that lit like that? That said, because it's the clientele that we use. The kids are talking to their other friends. That's where I want to get buried, because I want to ride in that car. This is the sad truth. I'm just telling you that people need a dad. People need a mom. People need a church. People need community. Somebody ought to help me right now. And just because they didn't get it from them and they can't get it from him, the only way they're going to get it from him is they get it from you. It's sad, but it's true. So as I stood there and had that conversation, Chris is standing right next to me, I thought, what can we do? And I asked a question to the funeral home director. Do you remember kind of what he said?
Yes, 19 to 35.
But then what did he say, the church? I said, what could a church do? What did he say?
That they need activities, that they need people to cheer, praise God.
He said, What they need is a church. And this guy hadn't been to our church, obviously. He said they need a church where, like, a preacher wears jeans. And they need a church where they don't feel like they're being beat. And that, he said, this African-American dude, he said they need a whole lot less hoop, hoop. And like, be normal. And Dwayne was standing next to me, and Dwayne said, that sounds like our church. I'm just telling you, we're on the right path, we're doing the right thing, but what are you doing? Come on, somebody, what are you doing, Weldon? What are you doing online? Because here's what happens. Jesus said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Shout it with me. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Okay, so let's talk about the church at large, what I see in America today. The capital C church in America, again, talking to you like a dad. I see a church full of great LED screens. The haze is just right. Somebody's on staff to make sure it's right. And nothing against that. It's atmosphere. We see great technology. It's great. But what I see at all campuses, and it's not just our church, the church at large, and most preachers won't say what I'm about to say because it's, come on, I want to bless you. Come on, I want to help you. And I want to do that for the most part. But every once in a while, I need to tell you, We shouldn't have to come to the car with an umbrella to bring you in, have your donut ready, where's my coffee, and I'm actually 15 minutes late, but that's okay because it's all about me. And why? That's not the way it should be. When you realize for the first time perhaps that there's 19-year-old kids that will die between now and next Sunday, we have a job to do to start a church in Ferguson, Florida. We have a job to do to start an iConnect. Come on, somebody. We have a job to do, Weldon, to invite the people in your neck of the woods and bring them to the church. Can I at least get a nod? Luke 10 verse 25 says, one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus, asking him a question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? Then the man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your, check this out, heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. All your strength, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. In other words, God wasn't saying, just come to church, get a bulletin as a receipt, and then when you get to heaven, you're going to be okay. Oh, it's okay to stay at home and watch online, forsake the assemblies of yourself. Oh, no, it's not. Jesus said that my house should be called the house of prayer. And he said, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. So online is for when you're on vacation, you don't take a vacation from God. So you live stream. Or if you're in Timbuktu or Missoula, Montana or Iceland and you can't get here, that's fine. But if you were 20 minutes away, it means you respect God enough to get up, take a shower, brush your teeth, and drag your kids to church. Somebody ought to help me right now. I can hear you, Weldon. You bring your kids to church because if you don't teach them compassion, the movies isn't going to do it. And the kids are afraid they're going to get shot in school. It's tight, but it's right. My heart melts with compassion. So we got closed-hearted people, broken-hearted people, unsettled people, but we have to be a people that are tender-hearted people. Tender-hearted. So he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, here's the thing. I was thinking on the way here, I thought, you know, it should be easy for me to love my neighbor as myself because I sure do love myself a lot. I do. I'm the first person I look for in a group photo. I'm the first person that I tell my kids, you delete that. I'm not sucking it in. I thought I was looking good when I put on the shirt, but I didn't realize I had exhaled and I didn't look good from the side. I'm wearing Spanx right now because I want to make sure that it all flows tight. And if you don't know what Spanx is, you're not a girl. And you didn't watch the royal wedding. And had you seen Oprah in the dress, dingbat, you'd know something about Spanx. Come on, somebody ought to thank God for Spanx. Now, when I'm trying to get this out, sometimes I pull my back out and I got gas. Come on, somebody. But it's worth it because when I see me on television, I go, I looked okay. So it should be easy for me to love my neighbor as myself because I love me. And you love you. But you got to be careful loving yourself too much. Then Jesus comes and he's traveling. A Jewish man was traveling through Jerusalem to Jericho, and he's attacked by bandits, stripped down of his clothes. And they beat him, and they left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, and when he saw the man lying there, he crossed over to the other side of the street. He left him. And then his associate pastor, the assistant, came by, and he walked to right over the top of him. And then there was a despised Samaritan who came along, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. Come on, shout it. He felt compassion. Come on, everybody. Come on, Weldon. He felt compassion. When you feel it, say it. Nicole, this morning, I was watching her on television, and she's beat down all the time. I know she is, so I just sent her this text. This is how you do it.
I was almost late because I couldn't stop watching your sermon on TV. The show looked incredible. You were preaching on imagine and you tied the word imagine in perfectly in so many ways. You truly are a gifted communicator. I was thinking and comparing you against Joyce Meyer and others, and truly you are right there now at their level. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, so then she comes back and says, You have no idea how bad I needed to hear that. I hate the way I sound. My timing is off, and oftentimes I'm annoyed by myself. I needed it so much. Thanks for having the confidence in me to release me and to relieve me into ministry today. I love you. That's what you do. You show compassion. So you wonder why your wife doesn't love you. You wonder why your kids don't pay attention to you. You wonder why my 7-year-old, who wasn't my son, stayed with me and is my campus pastor in Florida. It's because you don't shame people. You don't point out what they're not. You point out the activities that they are, because that is the compassion that Jesus had. Somebody ought to help me right now. And that's where you show your love, is to your neighbor that's in your house. And then you take the love out of your house and you spread that to your neighborhood. You love your neighbor as yourself. Now, verse 36 says, now which of these three would you say is your neighbor? The one attacked, you know, that attacked by bandits. Jesus said, now go and do the same. Because when the Samaritan sees him, he says, hey, I'm going to put bandages on you. I'm going to put oil on you, which is like prayer. And if this isn't enough money, I will come back tomorrow and pay more, because he believed in a trust, an endowment, the thing we do for Haiti, Cuba, sex trafficking. There's a certain amount of money every week that they depend on, because just because we buy an ambulance doesn't mean that's over. Just because we start a church in India doesn't mean it's over. What you build, you must maintain. And that's what he was doing. He was saying, hey, look, what we're going to do here is we're going to set up long-term care for our neighbor, because I am my brother's keeper. Love your neighbor. When I started this church, about the time we bought this building, we had moved and we bought a house in a really nice neighborhood. And there was a guy on a street named Gary and his wife, Debbie. They had 2 small children. I didn't know them, but I'd see them walking on the street. Never invited them to church. Never prayed for them. And one day, on a Sunday, they came to our church in Fenton. They started walking down the aisle, and Gary said, I am your neighbor. Sound familiar? He said, Debbie has a question to ask you. Debbie says, hey, I'm getting ready to die in the next couple of weeks. Would you preach my funeral? And there's this little adopted daughter, Bella, and their special needs daughter, about 13. And they're standing there. And I said, of course I will. And I prayed with them. But my heart was broken that this was my neighbor, 2 doors down. And I never invited him to church. I never prayed for him. But I was too busy doing this. Well, she died a few weeks later, and I preached the funeral. And then I was really on assignment then to make sure Joe was okay. Hey, Joe, come down to the house. Bring the kids. And so now Bella, little bitty adopted Bella, would be in Nicole's closet taking all the shoes down, which are many. And she would walk around with Nicole, because Nicole spent time with her, loving her. Not because we had time to do it. We didn't. But it was the thing that needed to be done. The compassion needed to be shown. The special needs daughter would be there as well. Our pantry opened up, and we knew the kind of chips she liked after a couple weeks. We knew what kind of food she liked, and she'd just come in and just consume it, and ate these jalapenos that were so hot, I was afraid it was going to kill her, and she'd eat the whole jar of it. And all Joe wanted to do was not go home. And then we would bring him here, and we were tearing this out and tearing the asphalt out and cleaning it up. And then some lady who was here all the time, who didn't have much money, but Joe had a lot of money, lived on my street, and they ended up falling in love, and she ended up being a compassionate person to the kids. And then I stood right beside them in that very house as we married them, and they're happily married now. Of course, she moved and bought a better house and a different house, but I'm just here to tell you that I did not do what was right. You can win the world and help sponsor a kid from Compassion International. Come on, that's a good thing. I'm not against that. But what are you doing to be personally involved? What are you called to do? Are you called to just think about you and having a bigger house and a bigger car? Or are you thinking about other people? Are you still compassionate? Does your heart break with what breaks the heart of God? Because remember, the president knows a lot, but God knows everything. And he sees girls being sold in sex trafficking. He sees kids starving to death. And then here we are saying, I don't think I'm going to go to church because it's raining. Matthew 25, verse 40. Assuredly, I say to you, Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've did it unto me. So if Jesus showed up today at Weldon Spring Campus and he walked down the aisle, wouldn't you, Weldon, stand up and be like, oh my gosh, Jesus came to church today? Can I help you? This is what we should do when we see a person that looks like, wow, they need a shower. This is what we should do to people that look like they have a lot of money. This is what we should do to all people, because you don't know who it is in which you're talking to that might be an angel that you were entertaining unaware. The Bible said, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. So here's what I've decided to do with my life. And I've proven it. I have every right to talk to you about this. A lot of things I'm not. But the one thing I've done is to just keep showing up. Just keep trying to help people. And it hurts. And it's hard. The opposite of not easy. But I do it because God told me to do it. And he sustains me and he blesses me and he helps me. And I get so much, so much of my heart is full. Because when I hear you say, man, this church changed my life. Whew. Because money won't do that. I had money. And I spent a lot of it building this church. People say, you made a small fortune building this church. Yes, because I started with a large fortune. Cost money to buy churches. Cost money to be on television. And then if you don't ask for any money, but I think it tears down the wall when people in the community know us as a life-giving church, because we're not a TV evangelist. We're a church who has a television ministry. And so the community recognizes that this is a place of safety. This is a place of help. This is a place of wholeness. This is a place where God can do a miracle in their life. Acts 28, verse 1. After we were safe on the island, Paul just had a shipwreck. We knew and recognized that we were on the island of Malta. And the natives showed us unusual, remarkable kindness. For they kindled a fire and they welcomed us and received us, since it had begun to rain and it was cold. Malta. Actually, that's where we get the group, the Knights of Malta, which, by the way, were kind of commissioned by the Catholic Church. And there's 13,500 of them that are big fundraisers for the Catholic Church. Subsequently, our church is 70% Catholic and Lutheran. So we have one of those guys at our church. He's a big funder and really helps us do what we do with humanitarian efforts and so on. But I'm here to tell you that that whole thing sprung out of somebody going, hey, what they did on the Isle of Malta is what I want to do with my life. And I think we have to ask ourselves the question here today and at Weldon. What are we doing personally to show kindness to people? I'm talking about the homeless guy on the street who my dad would say, he needs to get a job. And so that's the way I thought until I got more around Jesus. And then I realized the Bible said, do not judge. So for me to judge that person, I don't know what caused them to be that way. And sure, there are some people that might needed a job, but we don't know why or what happened to them to cause them to be this way. And so I would rather err on the side of non-judgment and give them that in which I have, which is extra, to help them in this time right now where they need help. My dad would say, he's just going to buy alcohol. I got in trouble in Florida for giving a guy money. Somebody saw me give a guy money. Who was going to buy alcohol, and he bought alcohol. And they jumped me in the next day at church in Florida. And they, blah, 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 blah. And I said something I should not have said. But I said, if he did buy alcohol, if I was in his condition, I would want to stay drunk. Now that is not biblical. That is not right. I'm just telling you, if you hear I said it, I said it. But not everybody is going to buy alcohol. But who are we to judge? If God said, I'm going to bless you so you can bless others, we should spend our whole life trying to figure out how can we serve at this church? How can we help this church? Because I know for sure the church is helping people. And if I help the church, come on, somebody ought to help me right now, then I'm helping God. Psalm 78, verse 38 says, but he is, God, is full of compassion. Compassion. Now, it would be very easy for you to flip the switch on compassion if you were standing there minutes after those students got shot and those kids are coming out screaming with blood on them, and you would be like, oh my God, you'd be losing it. We got to do something about this. You'd really feel it firsthand. But what we do now is we put up social media memes that say, praying for Houston. So my question is, did you? So my question is, when people say, hey, this happened and that happened, and you say, at Faith Church, you tell a person at Faith Church, hey, this happened, that happened, and you go, I'll pray for you. Are you a liar? Don't tell somebody you're going to pray for them and lie to them. If you said you're going to pray, pray. But don't be a liar. Because here's what happens. When people tell me they pray for me, I feel it. You know why? Because I'm not a liar. I really do pray for people. So I know, I assume that when you say you're praying for me, you're really praying for me. So pray for people, love people, embrace people, don't judge people. Make sure that we are living within the realm and the parameters of saying, you know what? If it were not for God, I would be down that path. So since God has saved me, I'm going to help save them. And I can't change everybody, but I can change somebody. Somebody ought to help me. And I need a miracle, but I can be the miracle to somebody else. And I'm going to live my life from a spirit of compassion to make a difference. I'm going to abound in mercy. If you read the epistles at all, you know that the Bible says that they shared all things and had all things in common. And again, not against you having money. Not against you hurry up and getting the iPhone, whatever's next. But I am saying, make sure you realize that you have been forgiven of much and I've been forgiven of much. So we just need to take a look at ourselves and say, hey, are we honoring God with our lives? Or are you a person that says, I'm going to be at church late if I even go at all. And they better have an umbrella. They better have my coffee. And the lights better be right. And the sound better be right. And the preacher better. Shame on you. I tell my daughter all the time, he's sitting there at Weldon. I go, can you believe we get to do this? Can you believe we get to help people? And then some of my friends who their kids aren't in the ministry, they say, I can't believe these people did this to me. Always point out to your kids the value of church, the value of human life, the value of people of diversity. I'm talking about red, yellow, black and white, gay, straight, lesbian. I'm talking all people right now. I'm not condoning any sin, but I'm not going to ever be the one. You kick me out if you want. But I'll never be the one to condemn anybody because I know I'm still working on me and I'm one jacked up individual who is privileged that the Lord loved me. I've took three looks at a woman and lusted at her. I've thought things I shouldn't. I've done things I shouldn't. But are you going to be the person God calls you to be? Or are we going to slip right down the path with the world who sits in church with their hats on? Wouldn't know the Holy Ghost if he came in with a red shirt on, a purple jacket, and a big sign that said, Holy Ghost. You'd be like, well, I never. But they saw God yesterday. They might not even like curry, but they had to eat some of it. Come on, somebody. Because the man came in with the anointing and a word. He was unapologetic. And if you hadn't seen it, go to YouTube. Just turn it on anywhere. Curry's everywhere. Because he just did what he did. He was just being him. They didn't even know what to do with him. It reminded me of John the Baptist. It reminded me of Jesus. And hopefully someday it'll remind you of you. Because you're called to reach those people. Why haven't you invited them to church? Why haven't you seriously during worship got on your knees for a minute and said, God, help. Help Bob. God, help my neighbor. Because there's a whole lot of people, too, that are really bad people in St. Louis. And they've got me on speed dial. I'm talking horrible sinners. The worst of the worst is kind of who I pastor, and I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about the F-bomb droppers who say, check this out, 400,000 people just saw this video of me. Do you think it's correct? Because I'm pastoring sinners and I'm loving them. And I don't say, change that and change that and don't drop the F-bomb. I go, I love everything about it. As you know, I can't have you preach at church for obvious reasons, but I agree with that. And then now they don't feel like I'm doing this. They feel like I'm doing this. And hopefully when I get to heaven, they'll all be with us. Because I'm not here to build a church. I'm here to be the church. Come on, Faith Church. We're not here to build a church in Ferguson. There's a lot of great churches there. We're called to come alongside of them. And if you must know, I met with three of them this week. African-Americans who said, I judged you wrong because I went in their office and asked them to pray for me and said, you're doing a great job, but how can I help you? One of them would never even look me in the eye because he was anti-me. But then when it was done, he hugged me and said, I didn't really know who you were. I'm here to tell you that it's not a black problem. It's not a white problem. It's not a racism, believe it or not, or a terrorism. It is a devil from hell trying to separate us from the White House to the outhouse and to the church house. But I'm telling you, I have a dream to do something great in St. Louis to make the devil know this is known as ground zero for racism, but it is going to be known as ground zero for revival. We're going to do it. Stand with me. Stand with me, Weldon. Stretch your hands towards the screens. And if you're wondering at Weldon what it feels like to be at a campus where I'm at, it feels just like this because I watch them watch me on the screens. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that your heart has been convicted, that the Holy Spirit has been confirmed, that we've been a little off track, and we want to recalibrate our life to be our brother's keeper, to be the Good Samaritan, to go to the highways and byways and compel them to come in and to pray for people. And certainly some of us should fast social media, fast television, fast Netflix, and just get our hearts broken towards what breaks your heart today, Jesus. And we give you praise and we give you glory and honor for what you've done in our lives, but how you're going to use our lives to affect other people's lives. In Christ's name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.